Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by our head of news, our co-host, Melissa K.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio, thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a great start to your day out there. We are going to kick things off with our great friend, Mother Nature Whisperer, Weather Whisperer. I don't know if I'm trying something there, Brittany. Brittany Merlot joining us right now. Brittany, how you doing?
I'm great. Weather Whisperer, Mother Nature Whisperer. Those are good nicknames.
We're testing them out. We're testing them out. Brittany's going to actually be joining us, Melissa. Seth and I, a little bit later, we're going to be putting her under the spotlight as we interview her for Director's Cut. We're really looking forward to that and really appreciate it, Brittany.
I like that you almost said microscope.
I did, yes. Yeah. we are going to get a little scientific with her. We're going to be talking meteorology and stuff, and looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Be a fun conversation.
I know you're going to grill me. You'd be like, what is your relationship with Mother Nature? Tell me. How does this happen?
Tell us the truth. We want the truth. We can handle the truth. Brittany, I did want to ask you one question early on, though, because I've been using our good friends over at Travel Wisconsin. They've joined us on the air here a handful of times over the years. I go to them for their the fall color report. Is there somewhere that you would recommend, or just another one that you would recommend to people as they're kind of gearing up and getting ready to take in one of the most beautiful times of the year here in Wisconsin?
No, I love the Travel Wisconsin one. I personally use that as well. Mm-hmm. That is very accurate. I mean, they've got the cameras, the pictures up there. They're really diving into different parts of the counties. I think the only other way is just get out there yourself.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. Go out there.
Well, hard to do it any better.
And give us that report.
Yes. And we'd love to hear it. That's a great point, Brittany. Please feel free to call up and let us know, everybody. Call up on the show here and let Brittany know. Let us know, Brittany. What is it going to look like today?
Oh, beautiful. A great day to go out, take a walk in the woods, soak up the refreshing feel, because we're still going to be hitting temperatures in about those upper 60s to low 70s. So still crisp, a ton of sunshine out there, mostly sunny today, a calm wind as well. We could see some patchy fog overnight and through early tomorrow morning, but that's about it. Still sunny, dry, all week long, and in fact, we start to warm things up. Tomorrow we'll hit the mid-70s, and then for Thursday and into the weekend, some upper 70s. So the unseasonable warmth is still hanging on. It's trying to, at least, for a little bit longer.
I always do kind of appreciate when Mother Nature does this. It seems like we have this almost every fall into, you know, summer into fall, where she just hangs on for a little bit longer. I love it. And really clear blue skies out there today. A great start to the day and to the show. Thanks, Brittany. We'll talk later.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brittany. Best in the business right there. Friend and Brittany Merlot joining us every morning right in this time slot. And be on the lookout for a new episode of Director's Cut this weekend and everything. Not only is Brittany going to be joining us, but Melissa's going to join us as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're talking on Friday.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Looking forward to it. Coming up in the show here, we're going to have the El Cafe Coffee and Birthday and Anniversary Club coming up for you. We'll also be getting into, we might be having flying coffee pretty soon, everybody, and looking forward to that. Feeling overwhelmed, coffee to-do list. Wait, I'm sorry. Am I saying coffee a lot?
You are. It's everything coffee. I was like, what, did you change the birthday coffee anniversary club?
So sorry, everybody. I'm a little distracted because I had my first cup of coffee today that I've had like a week or so. It actually feels like it's been months, but I haven't had coffee in a week with the extraction I had done and everything. I tried it this morning. I had enough, Melissa. I was like, okay, I'm going to milk it down. I'm going to cool it down a little bit. But coffee, how I missed you. Yeah. Oh, I was.
James is in coffee heaven over there.
I really am. I'm also feeling a lot of the caffeine.
This should be a fun show.
It is. This is going to be a blast. Because not only do we have all that going on, but in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll get into a little bit of entertainment news for you. There is an interesting game show based on a 90s TV show that we've got to talk about coming up.
That could be fun.
That one on the way. Michael Bublé does something interesting with the voice that I wouldn't have guessed.
Okay.
And we're gonna,
I mean, his voice is velvet, but
yeah,
go on.
It really is. We're going to talk some local theater as well. And in the 9 o'clock hour, the healthiest vegetable of them all is We will get into that.
I have a guess.
Nice. Oh, good, good. I want to get your guess right before we get into it.
All right. I'll save it.
And corporate America's top 10 frustrations. We will find out about those coming up. But I do want to talk a little bit about coffee. We normalize coffee. We have it every day.
Do
those
we?
Of us that love it, no, we don't. But I just wanted to talk about coffee.
We laud and bow down to coffee.
Thank you, coffee. I'm so sorry.
You're amazing.
I didn't tough it through and try to drink you while I was dealing with the pain that I was. But coffee goes way, way back. I think some of these facts that I happen to come across about coffee might be common knowledge. Some of it maybe not. So let's get into some of these, Melissa.
Coffee facts.
Coffee dates back to 800 AD. Where it was discovered.
Coming to you hot and fresh. Sorry.
No, keep them coming. That was great. That was good. It was discovered back in the 9th century by goat herders.
Good old goat herders.
So goats eating the plant, they noticed that the goats were eating the plant and appeared to be dancing after they ate it. And we're like, well, I want to try this. Why are the goats having all this fun?
I want what he's having.
I knew the goat herder part. I didn't know why they even tried it. I never thought about that. You see this bean, you're not necessarily, tempted to necessarily try it.
But early on, you had to watch animals because, and granted, that's not always a surefire way to not poison yourself because animals have different digestive systems than we do and they can handle things. Like cows can eat grass. Don't eat grass. It doesn't work well.
Don't do it.
I tried that in grade school. It does not stave off hunger.
Yes. No.
But yeah, you had to watch what the animals were able to eat and not die before you tried it yourself.
That's so true. I hadn't thought about that. Coffee is a fruit. For those that don't know, the beans grow on a bush and are found in the center of a berry known as a coffee cherry.
Coffee cherry.
That's pretty cool. Nice. I didn't learn that either. I didn't know that one.
I didn't know that.
One of the more famous fans of coffee was Beethoven. Beethoven apparently was quite obsessed with it, actually, using precisely 60 beans per cup and would spend time counting out each and every bean before having one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I have to tell you, I went on a bit of a medium dive on pour over coffee. And how to do it properly. Like, what's his name? Is it Dan over at Ground Up Coffee?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, no, this will be the healthiest deep dive you ever take. And he wasn't wrong. I mean, I watched an 18-minute video, James, on how to do pour over coffee. And not only was it fascinating, but the guy that narrated it was his dry humor. I stayed there for the dry humor because it was good.
Yes.
But yes, there's so much science involved in how to make a cup of coffee. So Beethoven had it right. You need the proper amount of beans to water ratio to have that sweet spot between not too bitter or not too acidic, or there's so many components I can't even get.
I see what I mean. We've normalized coffee. We've got to put some more thought into this one. That's awesome. And a shout out to our friends from the Ground Up Coffee Shop. Visit them when they open their doors, everybody. 250 West Grand Avenue, right here in Rapids. Finland is known for consuming the most coffee in the world. I would like to say that we here in Rapids can compete with them. Finland drinks the most coffee. On average, they drink 12 kilograms per person per year, which works out an impressive 1,680 cups on average each year.
Whoa.
That's pretty good. But did coffee help Finland get to the Olympics? Because it helped Brazil. Back in 1932, the Brazilian government didn't have enough money to send their athletes to the Olympics, so they funded the trip by selling coffee.
Okay, I just had to do the math on that, and because I don't mental, I had to calculate. That's over 4.5 cups of coffee a day in Finland.
That is, man, they talk about it being a very happy part of the world. I wonder if there's something to that right there.
Maybe.
Coffee wasn't always for drinking. Before coffee was discovered to be a delicious beverage, it was actually a food. East African tribes would grind the berries and mix them with animal fat to eat.
Oh, kind of like Native American, is it pep? Pekin?
Yeah, I want to say Pekin, yeah, yeah.
That's not exactly right. I'll look it up.
No, I know what you're talking about, though. And I'm the last person to ask if we're saying a word right. you may know this one, Melissa, with that deep dive you did. There are two different types of coffee bean, Robust and Arabic. Arabic has lower acidity and a smoother taste, whereas Robust is more acidic and bitter.
Okay. Hmm. They didn't go under the different beans.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought that was quite interesting. I got to admit, I wasn't quite sure of that one. And coffee, at one point, there was a dark time for coffee and coffee lovers out there. Coffee was banned. Yeah. In the 18th century, governments tried to ban the beverage because it was thought to stimulate radical thinking. Our favorite drink was actually banned in Sweden for a while in 1746, along with anything related to it, including cups and saucers.
What?
Sweden was messing around.
No. Like, not only can you not have the drink, you cannot collect the cups either.
Seems a bit too far. Seems like
it's a little excessive.
Can I have some water? Well, you better put your hands together. Got no cups.
The word is pemmican.
Oh, yes. Okay. That is much more accurate.
Yep. Dried meat and animal fat and sometimes like fruit, whatever they had that they could dry, and it was a trail food.
That's pretty okay. Right on. Yeah, nice, yeah. Nicely done, Melissa. We will get to our El Cafe birthday and anniversary club coming up on the morning show right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. It's time for the El Cafe birthday and anniversary club. One of our favorite parts of the day, we get to celebrate you and talk about our great friends over at El Cafe at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Mm-hmm. Their doors are open. Head on over.
Yeah. Oh, and they have a fun looking menu this week.
Yeah, did you see their daily specials?
I did. Skillet, skillet, skillet.
Yeah, some really good stuff on that skillet today. You can get a great one for breakfast, pork skillet, oven baked pork, two eggs, onion, green peppers, and cheese. And their special for lunch today, spaghetti and garlic toast.
Oh, who doesn't love spaghetti?
Yes. I love trying different people's spaghettis, too. They always tend to really just be a different spin on a classic. Head on over there.
Is it weird that I thought, because, okay, oven-baked pork. I'm like, that's not usually something you think about for breakfast. Like, wait a minute, Melissa. Mm. Like, every breakfast meat is pork.
Yeah, no, actually, I didn't. You're so right. I didn't even think about that.
Like bacon, sausage, ham—they're all pork, but they don't. They have like breakfast pork names,
yeah,
as opposed to oven baked pork.
No, we.
But it sounds delicious.
We had a couple of different Latin families, a Puerto Rican family, Cuban family, lived right on the same floor as us, and they were always this time of day. Absolutely, there was ham or some sausage or something being cooked or something like that, and I immediately think of that stuff almost almost even more than dinner. Sometimes I think of those things.
Well, because they are breakfast. They're breakfast porks.
Yeah, but it's
but you don't call them pork.
You're
you
right.
Call them bacon, sausage, or ham.
Hadn't even thought about it. Whatever you call it, order it over at El Cafe today. Yes. Get on over there, everybody, and thank them for us. Wish them a good day.
I might have to just drive over there.
Oh, it sounds so good.
It sounds fantastic.
Let me know how it is. let us know your birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. We want to hear from you. Get a hold of us by emailing us info@WFHR.com. info@WFHR.com. You can email any of our staff or myself, james.mailoff@civicmedia.us, melissa.k@civicmedia.us. Reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach out to us on Facebook as well. Hit us up on our Facebook pages, DM us. And of course, call up.
That's right, 715-424-2600. Or just one button, dial in with the Civic Media app, which you have because you want to get in on this awesome contest we have going on this week.
Yeah, more on that later. We're going to be talking about that and hyping that up and everything because we just got a week left of this one. So I want to make sure that you all get in on this and get some winning it.
That's right.
And get in on the winning because we also, at the beginning of every month, announce a winner for our El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. That's why we collect these names. So whether you're giving to us live on the air or not, yeah, we want to celebrate with you, everybody. And let's grab a qualifier today. Melissa, I need a one or a two.
One.
All right. Gives us that qualifier. We can get right into celebrating and wishing a happy birthday to Greg Langston.
Happy birthday, Greg.
Enjoy your day, Greg. Wishing you a good one. And we wish a very happy anniversary to Bob and Donna Panko.
Bob and Donna, happy anniversary.
Wishing you guys a wonderful anniversary. Hope it's a good one for both of you. Enjoy the day, enjoy each other, and many, many, many more to you.
Yes.
And that sounds like just a classic couple name, Bob and Donna. That's a good name. That's a good set of names right there. Enjoy your, I like that. Enjoy your anniversary, you two.
Yeah.
We take a look.
Were they the qualifiers?
Yes, I'm sorry. They are the qualifiers for today.
Yay! Congratulations, Bob and Donna.
Enjoy and brag to everybody about it. Enjoy and brag.
And go get a pork skillet.
Yum. Yes, yes. Good idea. Taking a look at our celebrity list of birthdays, Ben Platt is 31. Evan and Dear Evan Hansen, you may also know him as Benji in the Pitch Perfect movies. From what I have to be honest, I haven't seen him, but I hear very good things about his acting.
Okay.
Let's see. Oh, Nia Varbalos is 62, the wonderful Greek actress from My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Fantastic actor. Wonderful actor. Mean Joe Green is 78. Oh, Mean Joe Green. Not only a legend on defensive line in football, Melissa, and a part of one of the greatest defenses in football history, but maybe more famous in some ways pop culture-wise. There is a famous commercial that Mean Joe Green did, a Coca-Cola commercial. Oh, God, my mom's yelling at me right now.
Don't mess that up, Jimmy.
He's walking down the tunnel after a tough game or something like that, and a kid goes up and he's, hey, Mean Joe Green, and gives him a Coca-Cola. Mm-hmm. And Mean Joe tosses him a jersey. Cool. And it's just a simple ad, but it was the biggest ad in the world for like a year or two. Coca-Cola made use of that one. It was a big one. And kind of really, there was always celebrities in commercials, but that one really showed how popular that could be, done right. And it's kind of a simple commercial, but it actually is really kind of a, when you watch it, especially going back and everything, with how much we overthink this stuff, you know, pretty cool.
Well, that's the thing. Sometimes the simpler ones are the ones that hit the best.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that the case?
Yeah. Yeah. Because when you try too hard, man, looks like you're trying too hard.
We've got some people no longer with us, and all three are going to take a moment, everybody. Because first up, one of the greatest, I think, members of 30 Rock, of Saturday Night Live's alum, Phil Hartman, born on this day in 1948, passed away way too early in 1998. Mm-hmm. SNL got to start with the Groundlings. Really, one of the architects of the famous improv group, the Groundlings, which is just about as big as Second City is here in the Midwest and out east. The Groundlings are out west. Phil Hartman had about 19 to 20 different recurring characters on Saturday Night Live. One of the biggest things you can get on that show is you get on the show and then it's, okay, I have to have a character that they keep bringing me back in sketches. They got to use me. I'm going to be out there. Also, how else can I be used on that stage? Am I just an actor? I'm not going to get used that much. Well, if I'm a writer and an actor, I can get used even more. Phil Hartman came into Saturday Night Live a little bit older, not super old, but a little bit older than your usual Saturday Night Live member. So he had a little more seasoning, and he was able to walk into that writer's room and walk onto that stage at 30 Rock and make sure every person that watched that show knew who he was. A history of great impersonators on that show, nobody better than Phil Hartman. There was nobody who was a better impersonator than Phil Hartman, and they've had some greats. It's really saying something. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have a hard time transitioning from Saturday Night Live and going to the pro game, if you will, going to TV and movies and everything. Phil Hartman, they couldn't wait for him. Casting agents to this day talk about how they wanted Phil Hartman in more stuff, but the Saturday Night Live schedule kept him so busy, so he wasn't able to do a lot of things. So when he got his break on TV and doing news radio, Dave Foley from Kids in the Hall, another great improv show, one of my favorites of all time. I was glued to that show. It had a perfect cast, and Phil was, to me, the best part of it. Did a couple of great movies over the times. Also,
so much voice acting.
And as all of that being said, one of Phil Hartman's greatest legacies is also about mental health. And the importance of it, and the importance of paying attention to it, the importance of addiction, and where that can go. His legacy is so much, so many layers to it, and I just think one of the. There's every year on this day, I go back and I watch this sketch. His last episode, Chris Farley came out, and Farley didn't want to let him go, and this wasn't a bit. This was something he really felt. And you have this beautiful scene of Chris Farley putting his head on Phil Hartman's shoulder. And it's just a beautiful moment. Linda McCartney.
I have to mention so many things from my childhood that he was in. Tailspin, DuckTales, Jetsons,
yes.
Darkwing Duck. I didn't watch it, but he was in a lot of the Pee Wee Herman shows. The Brave Little Toaster.
My sister's favorite cartoon. Yeah. I thank you so much. I forgot about his voice acting.
Yeah.
He got his start before the Groundlings, actually through the Groundlings, I believe, working with Pee Wee Herman, and was a writer with him and helped create half of the stuff that we loved about the Pee Wee Herman stand-up bit and the TV show. Mm-hmm. It's a great note,
Melissa.
And,
of course, The Simpsons.
Yes. Easily the best cameo ever to join The Simpsons. He was Lionel. He actually was so good that they ended up turning him into a regular on the show. Had he been around, he would probably still be on the show doing Lionel Hutz, Attorney at Law, or Troy McClure. You might remember me from such shows as... such a great... One of the legends of everything that he did. Linda McCartney, born on this day 1941, passed away in 1998. Paul McCartney has mentioned many, many times that his career wings. None of that happens without Linda. Linda was very shy. Linda didn't think she was a great musician. Paul didn't care. Paul had worked with perfection. Paul had worked with, you know, being in one maybe the most legendary band of all time. He wanted to work with his wife. He wanted to work with his friends. He wanted to do work that he loved. And Linda brought that out of him. Linda McCartney was also one of the first and biggest voices and advocates for veganism and being a vegetarian. And more importantly, eating healthy and paying attention to labels and everything. It wasn't so much she never pushed anything. She wasn't like, you shouldn't eat meat or anything like that. She was just very adamant about eating healthier way before a lot of other people were. And Jim Henson, born on this day in 1936, passed away in 1990. Genius. Yeah. I grew up idolizing and loving Jim Henson, one of the biggest influences I ever had and ever will have, like a lot of us out there, and really did my homework on him because I do these deep dives on people, and I like to know where they were born, how they were, their origin stories and everything. It's one of my favorite things about people because people are one of my favorite things. And Jim Henson was a self-made person. Think of, you know, jumping into the entertainment industry and trying to make it as a singer, an actor, or something like that. Now try to think of doing it with a part of the genre that has not even been invented yet. It hasn't even been done. And doing this, certainly not alone, but with a great team and finding good people to work with. And not only working with good people, but trusting those people and finding the joy and the greatest joy in creativity is when you create for others and when you create with others.
Yeah.
And I still learn, it feels like almost every year, more about him that just fascinates me. There's a beautiful documentary on Disney I encourage you to check out about Jim Henson and the origins of the Muppets and all these things this man gave me. And maybe the greatest one I get to do later tomorrow when I get to podcast with my daughter doing the podcast we do called What the Muppet, where it's all about Muppets and everything. The man keeps giving and just a legend, a true genius in what he did. Yeah.
And gone way too soon again.
Yeah. We wish happy birthdays to Greg Langston.
Happy birthday, Greg.
And all of you out there celebrating. Happy birthday, everybody. Mm-hmm. And happy anniversary to everybody celebrating out there, especially our qualifiers, Bob and Donna Pankow.
Bob and Donna, congratulations. Happy anniversary.
Enjoy your day, everybody. And if you want to get us, if you're just catching this segment at the end and you're like, oh no, I missed the birthday and anniversary club.
No, you didn't.
No.
Contact us.
Yeah, call in or contact us any way you feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. We will celebrate it a little bit later or even in tomorrow's show.
Absolutely.
Mel and I will be back with more fun on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Melissa and James here for The Morning Show. We'd like to send this song out to our love, coffee. We hope you're having a great Tuesday morning out there, everybody. I thought Lou jumped in sooner here. I thought I timed this out wrong. I thought he jumped in a lot sooner. I didn't know it went out this long and everything.
That's okay. It's another, you know, little segment there.
Yes.
He's coming in now.
Yeah.
You'll never find, as long as you live,
I'm dancing with my coffee. And I don't care.
Dramatic lead-in.
I don't care who can see me. Windows are wide open. I'm dancing with my coffee, and I don't care.
Good.
Melissa and I got some fun stuff lined up for you, everybody. We're going to get into in a little bit America being down to its final Kmart. Big day on that. A big moment in pop culture and just consumerism, really. That's coming up for you. But could we have flying shopping carts before we have flying cars?
Flying shopping carts.
Yeah. We've been promised flying cars for around 100 years now. But anyone actually working on it? I am curious about that. Is anybody actually, because it feels like we jumped a step. Instead of flying cars, we're just trying to get to the atmosphere now. Not even space. They keep saying space. It's not technically space. They're just going into the higher atmosphere. But regardless. Yeah.
Maybe they're just waiting for us to stop getting into accidents on the ground.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer. I feel like I get in trouble whenever I say this one, and I know I'm not going to win anybody over here, but I don't know that we've earned it. we treat driving and cars and everything like it is a birthright, and it's not. It's a privilege. Mm-hmm. You have to earn this. You have to take a test to be able to drive. You can have it taken away from you. Mm-hmm. So whether it is having more ATVs on our roads or it is having flying cars, I feel like these are things that we need to earn as a society. And I'm genuinely asking. I don't pretend to have the answers. I am not standing on a hill and pointing down and judging anybody. But I do think we need to ask this question much more if we're going to go forward with these things. And especially if we're going to have flying shopping carts, because a robotics team in South Korea is developing something called a Pellatron, which is a combination of a pallet and a drone. It's supposed to be an improvement on a shopping cart that can go over any kind of terrain, including up and down stairs.
Okay.
The current vision of the Pellatron isn't that smart. It can hover at a certain height while safely balancing wherever cargo you put on top of it. And it doesn't even have to be a basket. It's stable enough that it's more like a table. But a human still has to control it. There's a handle on the front like a normal shopping cart, and you exert force to direct it where you want it to go.
Okay.
It does seem to take less effort than an actual shopping cart.
Right, because there's zero resistance in the air,
and you don't have to worry about
next to zero.
Man, how many times there are 100 carts? Those people do all the cart guys and ladies out there grabbing carts. You guys do a great job. I used to do that job. You do great work. But every time, man, there's 100 carts, and I grab the one with the bad wheel or the shaky wheel every single time. So you don't have to worry about that.
That's true. No wheels. No wheels.
And if people leave this cart in the middle of the parking lot, it'll remain stationary at least until it runs out of batteries.
What happens when it runs out of batteries? It just falls to the ground and somebody drives over it? These can't be cheap.
So working, there used to be cops here and they're working that and grabbing carts at night at 2 a.m. or whatever, and you're running around. There's always that one cart that some yahoo sent all the way over to, on the other end of the Shopko parking lot or something. So you're grabbing all these things. And there's the bad wheel one and everything. I can't imagine that on top of that. Anybody got the charger? Yeah, we got this thing's dead. You can't move it if it's dead. It's just sitting there.
The question, though, is how does it fly?
Yeah, that's a good question.
What makes it levitate?
They're still in the early testing phase where the carts are only holding about 7 pounds of cargo, less than a gallon of milk. And I haven't read it yet of how it levitates. That's such a great question. Since there aren't many stores or parking lots that require you to go up and down steps, you may be hoping that this is something that could carry your bags up and up the steps to your apartment, but that's probably not realistic. The developers say that they believe that this will be most practical for commercial and industrial use rather than residential.
Not if it only carries 7 pounds.
Yeah. And while it's in the early stages, grocery stores, I'm comfortable saying that they're just coming back, economic wise from the pandemic, but they're I wouldn't say that there are very many grocery chains that could afford this.
No kidding.
This is one of those things that, much like big flat screen TVs, and there was a point there where you knew if somebody had money because they had one of those, and then eventually they just became so much that now you see them on the side of the road all the time and everything. It's going to need to get to that stage with something like this for
definitely a supply and demand kind of thing. But the only thing I can think that it would, how it would levitate, are like something like fans.
Yeah, I could see that.
And so then what? It's blasting the ground with air to stay in the air. Can you imagine what that would be like in a grocery store? They better keep their floors pretty darn clean.
And watching the test video of this, it seems like they're not using a lot of effort, they're moving very slow. Very slow, which is the opposite of your shopping experience.
No, you want to get in and out as quick as possible.
And this doesn't even take in the biggest consideration of all factors.
Where do you put your child?
Where do you put your child? Where
if it only holds 7 pounds, I'm sorry.
I mean, putting the kid in the car.
Sorry, Jimmy. You're going to have to walk.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm 9 months.
Hey, leg it, kid. Work out those calves.
It comes with a backpack so you can carry your kid on your back.
I feel like we're a ways away from this one, everybody. Yeah. And probably a ways away from flying cars, too.
I just want the hoverboards.
Yes, that's what I'm with you. Yes, yes, yes. I don't even care if we ever have flying cars, but give me a hoverboard today. I want one of those right now. Especially, it's getting colder out. We're not going to be able to use it for much longer. I don't know if you want to use a hoverboard in the winter. I don't know.
Well,
it would be kind of cool in the snow, though. That'd be pretty cool.
It's like a hover snowboard.
Have you snowboarded before?
I have, to disastrous effect.
Oh, that's right. Yes, that's right. We talked about it. I like
it ended with a sore tailbone and hot toddies in the chalet.
That's the way
it wasn't a complete loss.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't so bad. A little positive or negative on that. I think snowboarding with one of those hoverboard would be pretty darn cool.
That all sounds terrifying to me. But yes, I would want to watch other people do it.
You've probably heard a number of people by now talking about this. Kmart just announced its last full-size store in the U.S. is closing next month. The location in Bridgehampton, New York, on Long Island, will shut its doors October 20th. A smaller Kmart in Miami will be the last one operating in the lower 48. They also still have a few left in the U.S. Virgin Islands and Guam. The first Kmart opened in Garden City, Michigan in 1962, and by the early 90s, there were around 2,300 of the Kmarts across the country at its power, most powerful. But they went bankrupt in 02 and merged with Sears, and then went bankrupt again in 2018. Even the last location in Miami isn't much of a Kmart these days. They recently subleased it to a home furnishing chain. And the only part that's still Kmart is a small section that used to be their garden department. So it's not really even a Kmart anymore. And this is, it's to certain generations, this is melancholy. This is a little sad. I don't know if sad's the right word, but a little bit, because I know for me and where I grew up, we couldn't afford, Marshalls or some of the other stores, but we could always afford Kmart. And Kmart also had a layaway plan back in the day that, for lower income people, there was nothing really like that. That was really important back in the day. And it had its place. It had its time. I do think that we could be sad, but I would also I would rather put my energy towards, what learning from this? Right. And what businesses can do to survive, and how, instead of just whining and complaining about Amazon or big chains, what can we do to compete with them? What can we do to, and I'm not saying
looking forward.
Yeah, yeah. And building and learning from this.
How can we build up small businesses in our local area so that they aren't, at danger of going under because of these big, huge, giant businesses that also, as we're talking, can go under?
And the importance of moving on, evolving, whether you are a business, whether you are a person, time only goes one direction. And everything is better off when you let it evolve organically, naturally, or scientifically. This is just business. And it's rough. It's tough to see. But at the same time, hey, what could they have done to stay around? Walmart is still around. Target is still around. You still do have some stores that are still physically around and selling. Yeah. What are they doing and how do they do it?
They're evolving with the times.
Yeah, that's what you got to do.
But I don't care what you say, James. I'm going to lock myself up in my house and watch Back to the Future. Time goes more than one direction.
Hey, that's a great point. Where we're going, we don't need roads. We just need commercials. We will be back with more show.
And there's hoverboards.
And hoverboards. You can hang on the end of a car and get a ride. We'll be back with more fun on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Thanks for joining us. Hope your Tuesday's treating you good. Got some fun stuff lined up for you. We'll take you right to the top of the hour. In the 9 o'clock hour, we'll kick things off a little entertainment news, talk some local theater, and eventually in the 9 o'clock, we're going to get into the healthiest vegetable of them all.
I know what it is.
Crown one. Oh, I can't wait to hear your answer on that one. We'll get into all that.
Now you just said that. Okay. Keep going.
We wanted to get into this one, an article from MASH.com. Send a shout out to them. The fast food chains that do and do not use real cheese. It's kind of a funny,
funny. Almost an I also can't wait to hear this because if it's not real cheese, I can eat it.
So the fast food food places that do use real cheese in most menu items include Panera, Starbucks, Taco Bell, Chipotle, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, and Jack in the Box.
And Culver's.
Nice. And the ones that do not include McDonald's, Burger King, Sonic, Dairy Queen, Tim Hortons, and, something else to keep in mind, any subsidiaries of these.
Tim Horton.
I've heard of those, but I've never actually seen one.
Wendy's. I don't know if I eat at a fast food place called Tim Horton.
I don't know. It feels like I'm going. Yeah, I don't know if I
show up at some dude's house.
Yeah, I don't like.
Hey, Tim, what's for lunch?
Hey, look, we don't have a whole lot back today, so the menu's a little thin. Wendy's is on the real cheese list, but their junior bacon cheeseburger, the one in the deal, features American cheese, which is classified as a cheese product.
Cheese product.
And Buffalo Wild Wings may not be fast food, but their cheeseburger also comes with American cheese, so keep that in mind. So that's kind of an interesting list. And I don't know how much this changes people's direction one way or the other, how they're eating these things, except when it comes to, like you were saying, Melissa.
Okay, but I just looked up Tim Hortons.
Okay, I'm going to look this up. Okay. Yeah.
No, it's in Canada and here. Mm. But they sell something called Timbits.
Oh, no. Oh, no. No.
I think they're like little donut. Like donut holes.
Mm. Oh, hey, wait a minute. Timbits. Yeah, no. You can't do that. They got a name already, Tim. I'm sorry. You're going to name your... It could be his name. It could be based on... it looks like it's a part of the Wendy's family and the Wendy's organization. But
I'm sorry. That just got me.
I'm
not going to some dude's house and buying his bits.
You have such a normal-sounding name, Tim. I'll show you. I'll name a restaurant after my name. You'll see. People will be excited by the name Tim Horton.
Sorry, derailed our conversation.
Yeah, no, that is all right.
We're discussing cheese, not somebody's bits.
I think that this is going to be helpful, maybe. Otherwise, I don't know how much rhyme or reason this really has to it other than, that.
Well, I mean, for those of us who are lactose intolerant, knowing right. that, because, I know that the ice cream at McDonald's I can digest easier than, obviously, something from Culver's because they use real milk fat,
mm-hmm.
and McDonald's uses a lot of sugar.
Yeah, yeah.
and other ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that I could actually get the cheese on the Big Mac that I always order without cheese, maybe I'll do that next time. I don't know. It doesn't add a whole lot, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly.
And having food at almost all these places, except for Tim Hortons,
which we will never
ever
eat at.
Not going to your place, Timothy. I'm not. I don't notice, honestly. I notice a difference with the meat more so, I think. I'm more of a meat person than a cheese, so I guess I don't really pay as much attention. So the opposed a real cheese to a processed cheese or what have you, I guess I don't notice the difference when they're combined, maybe on their own or on a grilled cheese sandwich. God, all of this sounds so good. I'm so hungry, Melissa.
Sorry.
I just want real. Sorry, I just want solid food.
I apologize.
This I think it's could be very helpful what you talked about there.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, I am curious how much this would, if you weren't lactose intolerant, if this would, you know, help you direction wise on what you'd eat or anything.
Well, I mean, and if you're just looking to remove a little bit of calories or fat from your meal, having it without the fake cheese. We'll do that for you, and remove something that is probably a lot more chemicals and not great ingredients that you don't need in your life.
We're trying to we're trying to help you make a, you know, it can be tough sometimes, middle of the week, trying to figure out what to feed yourself and, you know, maybe even your family and all that. We get these lists, and want to thin out that to-do list for you. And speaking of to-do lists, they can help you stay on task and get more done. But is it possible you're already getting too much done? If you're feeling overwhelmed, think about making a to-don't list.
Don't?
I've never heard of this one. I am a big list maker, a list doer. I get it from my father, who gets it from his father. I come from a long line of list makers. to-don't lists are for all the non-essential things we do that suck up our time, or things we do a certain way that might not be so hard if we change them up. A to-don't list might include things like don't overcommit to social engagements, or don't offer to do favors for everyone, or don't schedule meetings before 11 a.m. Don't skip lunch.
Okay, so this is learning how to say no.
Yeah. The idea is to be mindful about the stuff that's eating up your time and making life less enjoyable. But unlike to-do lists, you don't need to make one every day. Just do it once and check in on it, to remind yourself when you need to.
Reminder, don't overcommit. No, I need that one every day.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to be, if this could be really cool for some people, I think. I bet you there's some people that could, you make this list, laminate it, keep it in your purse, your wallet, whatever.
Pocket.
Your pocket. Yeah, yeah. If you're lucky enough to have pockets.
Exactly.
any of those things, I think that'd be great. For somebody like me, this would just be reminding me of things that I'm not doing, not reminding me to do things. There are certain you know, ways that my brain works that is just weird, and this is one of them where I feel like I've already got this list in my head, this to-don't list. I've already got it there, and I check in on it and I try to keep up with it, but between you and I, Melissa, not always the greatest at it. I feel like having a physical one in front of me might almost have a, not the opposite effect, but not as a positive as an effect.
Well, and I do think that it's good to be mindful of those things. I have had to become more mindful of that as I've gotten older, just because, I don't know, there's only so much you can cram into a day or an hour before you're going to either let yourself or somebody down.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that for me, that's the motivation. I don't want to overcommit and then not be able to follow through with what I promised. So... That has been my driving force to being able to say, no, sorry, I can't do that.
I love the idea of having something, a daily or almost when you need it, go to break glass in case needed, positive, you know, reinforcement or something, a nice positive reminder. Something like that or along those lines akin to that, I got no problems with. I recommend something like that. I think I think we're trying to navigate that, trying to figure that out. We've never been more in touch with our brain. You know, we've never been more connected and more understanding of it, and we've never understood the brain better. And all that being said,
we still don't know what's going on up there.
Still don't know a lot of it. You know, we've still got a lot of it we're trying to map out. Imagine,
which in some ways is a little reassuring.
Yeah, imagine if the brain was the world, and where we have it now. And if we looked out, you know, the Americas, even North America, we got all that mapped out. That's great. The rest of the world, I got no idea what's going on out there. I have no idea what's going on. Like, that is the brain. That is what we're dealing with. So we're still trying to figure these things out, navigate this stuff. And as we do this, it's important to not only give each other grace, but give yourself grace. And whether it's overcommitting to things or it is not, you know, taking the time to let yourself just breathe. Just be, you know, whatever it is.
Something that I read recently kind of really resonated with me, and I don't quite know how to explain it, but it was something along the lines of who benefits from your self-hate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who benefits from that?
Yeah.
So if that can be a reason to love yourself and to try to think positively about you and what you're doing and what you're able to accomplish, whatever way works, because we all need more self-love.
Yeah, yeah. There can't be enough of it. We're not on too much of that. We need more and more of it, and we need to have more of good vibes, good energy. Mm-hmm. We're able to do that with a lot of different ways. One of the ways we are doing that here at Civic Media is our statewide Go for the Green or Gold Text to Win contest.
That's right. You could win green or gold.
Yeah. That's how well our company's doing, everybody. We are giving
you money or jewelry.
Yeah. Woo. Yeah. And we're doing that well thanks to you. We are nowhere without all of you out there. And this whole contest is just a sneaky way for us to thank you guys and tell you how much we appreciate you. Helping Civic Media grow, but helping us evolve and become better by your feedback and so many other things.
Yeah. Being able to do more for local radio.
Mm-hmm. I've heard listeners tell me over the last a couple of months, especially going back to the fair we were at, Melissa, mm-hmm. that we have done more here at WFHR in the last couple of years than they have seen in a decade, as far as reporting and some of the work that we've been able to do. And that all starts with you guys out there and with Civic Media and things like this fun contest. Be listening at the top of the 11 a.m. hour today, 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock hours. We're going to give you a keyword to text to us, do so, and you could be one of the winners of either some green or some gold, and the possible grand prize winner of a pair of tickets to see the Green and Gold in Green Bay Monday, December 23rd, taking on New Orleans.
Ooh, that's like a Christmas present wrapped up all in a warm, nice room.
How did I think about that? You're so right. Yeah, that is. It really is. That's a great one. It may be the perfect Christmas gift out there. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is have the Civic Media app handy. Just have it handy. Get ready to text
us. When they announce those words, text that word in during that hour, mm-hmm. and then you will be entered to win daily prizes. Every hour, they're choosing a winner, and then you're automatically entered into that grand prize drawing.
We're rooting for you, everybody. Woo-hoo. We want to see you win. We want to get some rapid winners.
We want somebody from our station to win.
Yeah, yeah. Let's more shots at the apple. Keep on getting those names in there and be listening. Again, at the top of the 11 and 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock hours, we'll have that keyword for you for the Civic Media's Go for the Green or Gold Text to Win contest. Melissa and I will be back with more fun on The Morning Show.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.